For Revelation reminds us that the boom times are ahead. It reminds us that the best is yet to be for the child of God. Amen.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, we are broadcasting the second part of Pastor Brian Grant's message, Back to the Future. Last week, reading from the first chapter of the book of Revelation, Pastor Grant shared with us how that the entire Revelation is an eyewitness account by the Apostle John. John had been in exile in the Isle of Patmos, where suddenly the risen Lord appeared to him in a vision, instructing him to write what he saw as the curtain of time was rolled back, revealing hidden things that are nevertheless meant to be understood. Pastor Grant pointed out how the vision of the future is not mere prediction, but is an account of things that will surely take place. He also pointed out the critical key to understanding the Revelation, how it is divided into three distinct segments of time, past, present, and future, dating from the time of John's vision in about 95 AD. And that is where we will pick up the message again this evening. So here again is Pastor Grant and the concluding part of his message, Back to the Future.
So my brother and sister, what is it going to be when we gaze into the face of Jesus Christ, our divine master, our divine Lord, and thank God for the privilege. But you know, we won't fall as dead, because the Bible also tells us that when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Hallelujah. What a hope we have in Jesus. Amen. What a hope we have in Jesus. And oh my, this morning as we look at the Word of God, might our hearts burn within us with longing for the day when we get home and we see our blessed Savior. The Apostle John saw him and it blew his mind. Listen, the things which you have seen are described for us in Revelation chapter 1. And don't worry, I'm not finished with John's description of Jesus. I'm going to hold that for Easter Sunday. Pray with me as God helping me. I want us to look at this picture of the glorified Savior on Easter Sunday. And I still have work to do. I'm not there yet. Amen. But I want us to notice not only the things which you have seen. He says, I want you to write the things which are. And in Revelation chapter 1, verse 11, the apostle John, the Lord Jesus says to John, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, and what you have seen, write in a book and send it to the seven churches in Asia, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Revelation chapter 2 and 3 are devoted to the things which are and present us with letters that John was told to write to the seven churches in Asia Minor. Now, the number 7 represents completion or fullness, and you're going to find that as we go through Revelation, there are a number of sevens. The number 7 represents completion or fullness. So as Jesus spoke to the 7 churches, he was speaking to all churches. Put this in your note. These letters are therefore prophetic and provide a panorama of church history from the age of the apostles to the rapture of the church. As we study the 7 churches here, you're going to find that they are prophetic. And Jesus, from the very beginning, AD 95, we're in the first century, the church is just getting started. And Jesus is going to give a picture, a description of what is going to happen in the entire history of the church through these 7 letters to the churches. And next week we'll be talking about, one of the things we'll be talking about is the letter to the church at Laodicea. And you'll see the incredible similarity, because the church of Laodicea and what we're seeing happening in our world today. So stay tuned as we come back to this whole issue, the letters to the churches, the things which you have seen, the things which are, and final division of the book, the things which will take place after this. The things which will take place after this. The third division in the book of Revelation refers to what happens after the rapture. And this is where most of our study is going to be focused, because the vast majority of Revelation is about things which happen after the rapture. In case you don't, I'm using this word rapture, and you're wondering, what is this rapture? The rapture is not the rapture you feel when you're in love. No. We're talking about this word rapture actually means to be snatched away. We're saying the Bible is actually teaching us that one of these days, very soon, and I'll come back to that in a minute, one of these days, the Lord is going to snatch away all those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. We're going to be just snatched out of this world. And as we look at these things in the book of Revelation, always keep, don't ever forget the word must. That's the word I want you to hold on to, because the devil is going to make you question, I don't believe this could happen. Oh, this couldn't happen. God is saying, this must happen. May God help us to hold on. Amen. Listen, Revelation chapters 4 to chapter 22 are dedicated to the things which will take place after, the things which you have seen, the things which are right now, and the things which will take place after this. The final section I want to talk about this morning. I've spoken so far about the context of Revelation. I've spoken about the purpose of Revelation. I've spoken about the key to Revelation. And finally, I want to talk about the goals of Revelation. The goals of Revelation. Tony Evans points out two primary goals for the book of Revelation in the Tony Evans Bible commentary. He points out two primary goals for the book of Revelation. The first goal of Revelation is to encourage Christians, put that in your notes, to encourage Christians to live righteous and holy lives, and I've added here, in light of what's ahead. In light of what's ahead, one of the goals of Revelation is to encourage us to live righteous and holy lives. A Christian lady once asked me, why do we waste time on Bible prophecy? I'm using her word. She says, why do we waste time on Bible prophecy rather than focusing on real life today? And you know, you may be here, or you may be watching me, and you're wondering, why in the world would this church be taking 11 weeks to talk about Revelation? Why are we taking 11 weeks to talk about the future rather than concentrating on the issues today? You know, C.S. Lewis once wrote, if you study history, you'll find that the Christians who did the most for the present world were those who thought the most about the next. Oh, I hope you get that. C.S. Lewis said, if you study history, you'll find that the Christians who did most for the world were those who thought the most about the next. You see, the Christians who think about the next really understand what Brother Raphael Thomas was talking about this morning when he says, the gospel is only good news if it gets there on time. Because we realize that there is another world coming, we realize that we don't have all the time in the world. And we realize that, listen, when we leave here, we only have one of two outcomes, or destinies. We're either going to go to heaven or we're going to go to the lake of fire. When the Christian who understands that realizes there's no middle ground where somebody's just going to be la-la land. The Christian who is thoughtful about the next life recognizes that. And the Christian who is conscious about the next life realizes that the only thing that I can do that is really going to matter, I must do it right now. I cannot wait. Because soon and very soon, the King is coming. And so listen, C.S. Lewis says, the Christian who really has done the most for this world are those whose thought is on the next. But sadly, the evil one has made us all become so complacent and satisfied in at ease in right here where we are. It's a tragedy. Christian churches, the majority of our messages are about how to live good right here. The message has changed. It's rare you hear messages about hell or about heaven. It's about now, because we're not so focused there anymore. We want heaven right now. May God help us as we go through this book of Revelation, that every believer, every one of us as believers in Jesus Christ, that we will be challenged, and we will we'll recognize that I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, because the night is coming when no man can work. But the second reason, the second goal of Revelation is to challenge unbelievers about the certainty of judgment if they reject Christ. And my friend, I want you, if you're watching me this morning or if you're here this morning and you're not sure you're saved, I want you to realize that there is certain judgment if you refuse to receive Jesus Christ to be your Savior and Lord. I told some of my unsaved friends, an unsaved couple, that we were starting this new series on the book of Revelation and try to get their interest. And they said to me, why would you be starting a series on the book of Revelation, a book that is so full of gloom and doom? I said to them, it's only gloom and doom for those who are not saved. But for those of us who know the Lord Jesus as Savior, it's not gloom and doom, it's a boom. For Revelation reminds us that the boom times are ahead. It reminds us that the best is yet to be for the child of God. Amen? Do you believe that? Do you believe that the best is yet to be for the child of God? One little song we used to sing in Jamaica said, it's soon be done, all my troubles and trials, when I get home to the other side. You remember that song? It'll soon be over. The best is yet to be for the people of God. Yes, right now, the Apostle John, he was in exile on the Isle of Patmos. Listen, he had gone through some tough times. All the other apostles had been brutally murdered. He had been persecuted. But listen, he knew that one of these days it'd soon be over. Amen. Because one of these days we're going home. It's going to only get better. It's all going to get better by and by. Hallelujah. You know, in verse 7, we find the first prophetic statement in the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, here's the first prophetic statement that's made in the book. And might I say, this is one of the most central statements in the entire book of Revelation. It starts with it. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, come. Listen, Jesus is coming again. Amen. Jesus is coming again. His first coming was to die for our sins. He came as a baby, and they were looking for a king, but he didn't come as a king. He came as a suffering servant, and he went to the cross of Calvary, and he died for our sins. But Jesus is not coming as a suffering servant again. The next time he's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Listen, his second coming is in two parts. So you're going to have to add this to your notes, because this is a add-on. His second coming is in two parts. Add this to your notes. The first aspect of his second coming, he's coming in the clouds for his church. See, he's coming in the clouds for his church. Amen? He's coming in the clouds for his church. We call it the rapture. He's not coming to earth at that time, but believers will be caught up to meet him in the air. First Thessalonians chapter 4 tells us, verse 16 and 17 tells us, that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with the Lord in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. I love that last part. So shall we ever be with the Lord. You know, when the Lord comes at the time of the rapture and the church is raptured. Listen, the dead, those who have died before and are now with Jesus, their spirits are with Jesus and their souls, they're coming to be with him, and they're going to be reunited with the body. They get a brand new body, a changed body, and those who are still alive when he comes, they're going to be caught up. Their body will be changed, and all together, we're going to be caught up together with the Lord, and we will be forever with him. Amen. He ain't gonna leave us. Hallelujah. But after the rapture, God's wrath will be poured out on the earth like never before. You see, when the rapture comes, that's not the end of the earth. The world continues. And God's wrath is going to be poured out on the earth like never before. In the weeks ahead, we'll talk about the coming Antichrist and the mark of the beast, the number 666. We'll talk about the battle of Armageddon, and we'll talk about coming disasters like you have never seen before. You think COVID is anything? The Bible describes disasters that will kill billions of people, believe it or not. Listen, we'll talk about the rebirth of the European Union. We'll talk about the power, the role and the power of China and Russia in all of these events. We'll talk about Israel and how the world will be ganging up against Israel. We're starting to see it, the whole world ganging against Israel to squeeze them out of existence. We'll see all of these things. It's all here in this book of Revelation. Listen, the world is going to be in crisis, a crisis that has never been seen before. The Bible says, listen, unless God shortens the day, nobody would be spared. But at the darkest moment in earth's history, the Lord Jesus Christ shall appear. And verse 7 tells us, he's coming with clouds. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 refers to believers as a cloud of witnesses. And I'm one of those who believe the clouds he's coming with. Some Bible students will tell you that the clouds here just say he's coming in the clouds. But my Bible doesn't say he's coming in the clouds. It says he's coming with the clouds. Amen. And I'm believing that the clouds he's referring to are clouds of witnesses. The church who will always be with him. We will always be with him. He's coming with us. I said before, his second coming will be in two parts. Part number one, he's coming in the clouds for his church. But second, write this down, he's coming through the clouds with his church. Amen. He's coming through the clouds with his church. This time, you see, at the rapture, he didn't actually arrive on earth. Amen. But this time, he'll arrive on earth, and he'll arrive at the same spot from which he left. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, when Jesus was ascending into heaven, he said, listen, the angels said to them, listen, don't worry, this same Jesus, is going to come in like manner as you see him go to heaven. And the Lord Jesus is going to come, and the Bible tells us he's going to come back and he's going to land. All these details the Bible tells us. He's going to arrive on the Mount of Olives, the same Mount of Olives overlooking Jerusalem from which he left. He's going to come and he's going to put his foot on the Mount of Olives, and the Bible says the mountain will split. And hallelujah, we're coming with him. This time he'll arrive. We're going to be with him. And listen, the Bible says every eye is going to see him. You know, when I was a teenager, I developed an interest in prophecy. But I'll be honest with you, some of what prophecy said I believed, but I had no idea how it was possible. I figured God was going to pull it off. But how in the world, I said to myself, how in the world is every eye going to see Jesus? Today, nobody's worried about that, are we? Isn't that amazing? This Bible is so far ahead. John is writing in AD 95, and he's telling us every eye is going to see him. He had no idea how is that. He's just writing what? Listen. And now everybody has their little thing. Everybody has their cell phone. And within immediately, everybody around the globe. You think it's only in the developed world we have cell phones? One of the missionaries, I was speaking to one of the missionaries, and they asked the question, how do these nomads in the desert, let's say in the Arabian desert, how do they decide where to set up their tent or their camp? So all of us, oh, they're going to find out where water is, da, 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 da. The missionary said, no, they set it where they can get reception. Did you know that? I'm not making this up. That's what's happening today. He said, oh, these guys nowadays, they got a vehicle. They can carry their water. They don't need to be looking for water. They got water in their truck. All they need is reception. We need cell phone service. That's what we need. We're going to set up where we can find cell phone service. Listen, all the puzzles were from my childhood have been answered. You know, one of the other things as I wind this message up, don't worry, we're going to land soon. One of my other puzzles was, the book of Revelation says that the Antichrist was going to have some system that nobody could buy or sell unless they had a number. And they would have a choice of having the number in their forehead or on their forearm. And I tell you, as a teenager, I said, this is, I guess God could, it just sounded a little preposterous to me. Of course, I didn't know about credit cards. Back then, we didn't have them. But you realize now that even the experts are now telling us that the leaders are thinking of putting your number, your card, your identification on your skin so nobody can steal it. And it's in your forehead. They're giving you options as to where you can put it so you don't have to have a card that they can steal, all of this fraud. Listen, God is so far ahead of where we are. Listen, God, listen, let me tell you something. The word of the Lord is sure, and it is settled in heaven. My friend, I'm so glad that this morning that the word of the Lord is sure, that when the Lord, the Bible tells me, everyone who invites the Lord Jesus Christ into their heart have everlasting life. I'm so glad that the God is not telling a lie, that we have everlasting life if we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. I'm so glad, listen, that I have been passed from death to life, because I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I just want you to know, my friend, the Bible is also true. The Bible warns us about the coming judgment. It warns us about coming judgment. The book of Revelation tells us that anyone whose name is not written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. People say, oh, I don't believe that. In fact, I remember watching ABC TV, a special, and they were talking about hell. And there were all these people laughing. In fact, some people said, I don't mind going to hell because that's where all the parties are. They say, all the movie stars, they're not into this religion business. And so we all are going to end up in hell. We're going to have a party every day. All the bright light. Oh, we're going to have a good time down in hell. My friend, can I just warn you? There is going to be a lot of noise in hell. But it is not partying. The noise in hell, the Bible says there's going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. The Bible, yes, there is going to be a lot of light, but it's not strobe lights for parties. It's the flame of fire. The Bible says there's going to be fire in hell. It says the fire is not quenched. And the Bible, the same Lord Jesus who went and died for our sin, he's offering us eternal life. He says, listen, how shall we escape if we neglect his great salvation? I went and I died. People said, God is so, oh, why would a loving God do that? Listen, the issue is before us this morning. Here is what a loving God did. A loving God stepped out of heaven, took on humanity, went to a cross and substituted for you and me. He died in my place. He was beaten on my behalf. His blood was spilt on my behalf. And he invites me to receive his eternal life. He's not asking you to join a church. You know, some people listening to me this morning, you're saying, but Brian, I'm a part of the church. I'm a Baptist. I'm a Methodist. I'm a Presbyterian. I'm Catholic. None of those saves you. You could be a member of this church. That does not save you. Salvation is not by becoming a member of a church. What Jesus wants to do, salvation is for me to come to him. The Bible says, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. I need to repent. I need to turn from my life of sin and turn to God and recognize that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin. And I say to him, Lord Jesus, thank you so much for dying in my place. And Lord Jesus, thank you for shedding your blood to wash me from my sin. And this morning I am turning from sin and I'm turning to you. I want to receive you into my heart. I want you to come in and save me. I want you to change me. I want you to make me ready for heaven.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.